Today I'd like to talk to you under the caption, The Strange Power of God. This world has seen some real powerful people. Powerful people who have affected civilization. People like Julius Caesar, Napoleon, Moses, Socrates, Plato, Thomas Edison, and on the list, Jesus of Nazareth is there too. Jesus says, if we're going to be great and powerful, we need to be humble. This is considered to be the strange power of God. Because how can you be powerful and have the ability to use power and at the same time humble? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we seek your Spirit to be with us, to guide the transmission of your word straight to our hearts. Oh God, may as we listen and as we digest your word, may we bear fruit for repentance. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Turn your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 2. Thank you very much, Sister Alma, for your reading of the scripture, reminding us the cross, the power of the cross. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of what? Who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And I want you to note that. And became obedient up unto death, even the death of the cross. Weakness is not a quality that any of us admires. Not in one another. Certainly not in God. The question is, which of us seek to worship at the altar of weakness? None of us. As Christians, we like to boast in the fact that our God is a strong and powerful God. The children, they have a song like that. My God is mighty. My God is powerful. The old argument against idolatry seems to have been thrown in the face of Christians in the shadow of the cross. The reason that a piece of wood or stone is an inadequate God is the same reason that brings uncertainty to bear on the death of the Son of God. That tragic first Good Friday. Why is it that that Friday is good? What is good about torturing a man, causing a man to suffer, and eventually he died? You killed him. What is good about Good Friday? The world celebrated it yesterday. But what is good about Good Friday? Is it the bun and cheese? What is good about it? The fact is that Jesus died so that you and I can live, and not only live, but we can live eternally. And we say thank God for that. The Old Testament vibrates with the glory and the power of our God. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. This is the God who laid the foundation of the world. And that's power, isn't that so? This is the God that prevents the sea from overflowing its bank. This is power. Job continues to marvel at his power in Job 37, 23. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He's excellent in power and in judgment and plenty in justice and mercy. The heavens are telling when you look at it at night, the starry sky, the moon. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and the firmament proclaim his handiwork. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Man talking about power. God has power. Amen. When you go to sleep, you sleep as dead men and women. And in the morning, who wakes you to life? It's the power of God. Who gives you power to get wealth? It's Jesus. The earth is full of his glory. God is our refuge and strength. But as Christians, we proclaim that this same powerful Son of God, in weakness on a cruel Roman cross, where was the power? Why didn't he do something about it if he's so powerful? Peter couldn't take another minute of his powerlessness. And so Peter drew the sword and cut off the ears of that gentleman, because Peter could not understand, what is it? Is this the same Jesus, Brother Brady, who when we were out all night on the sea trying to catch some fish and nothing happened, and he caused our net to be broken with a whole lot of fish? Where is his power? Yes, he died there, seemingly weak and powerless. But he could have called 10,000 angels. Isn't that so? He could have, but he died alone for you and me. He died so that we may have eternal life. He became weak so that we can become strong in him. Can you understand this confusion? And even they ridicule him. They spot in his face. They boxed him. And then they eventually nailed him to the cross. That could not have happened to me. Believe it. Fight. And I have power. Fight. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for changing us. The power of God. Some of us were rough, you know. Isn't that so? Rough. Crude men. Gentlemen, isn't that true? Rough. Roll up your sleeve now and throw your fists. But thank God for the power of Jesus. Thank God for his transforming power that has affected our lives and changed us from rough, crude men to gentlemen and ladies. Oh, what a powerful God. He can change anything and anybody. It means then that you must not write off anybody. Hello? Do not write off anybody. Every man, every woman, every boy is a potential candidate of the kingdom of God. Jesus' power can change you and me and make us into somebody that we never even know that we could have been. The folly of the cross was the weakness it implied about the powerful God that his followers proclaimed and talked about. D.M. Bailey noted the gospel were written at a time when Christians could look back and glory in the cross. Those days were difficult days for Christianity. You remember the times when as Seventh-day Adventists, we would have to walk and hide our Bibles. We don't want anybody to know, much less to talk about the cross back then, that your Savior is going to die on the cross. Somebody who comes to save you. The disciples couldn't understand that. They wanted God, his Son, to set up a powerful kingdom and rule the world like the Romans. But my kingdom is not of this world. And so that's why our behavior must be transformed, because the kind of behavior that God wants is not the kind that man cherishes. And so, if we're going to be able to make it to the kingdom of God, we must be humble. Humble and be like Jesus. My friends, what do you say about the cross? That shameful piece of wood that murderers and people who deserve to be on it. Jesus didn't deserve that. Thank God for his love and for his mercies that he extends to us today. What do you say about the cross? It was a humiliating thing for our Lord to be on, the Savior of the world. The truth is, the gospel never pictured Jesus as helpless and powerless victim of circumstances. Even on the cross, he was more Lord than a fake of history. Yes, even on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, and when the weight of my sin and your sins came on him, he said, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass away." But then when he reconsidered, he said, "Not my will, but let your will be done." How does that affect you? How does that impact your life as you think about what Jesus has been through for you? How do you respond to all of that? Even on the cross, Jesus was thinking about us. Yet, no figure is more tragic, and no person ever appeared to be more defeated than the crucified one, because he could not see, as it were, beyond the portal of the tomb. I wonder if you understand that. He didn't know how things were going to work out, in a sense, because he was man like you and me. You get the point? Yes. And so he weighed the matter long and hard. But all the way to Calvary, he went for me and he went for you. And I said, praise be to God. Where is the power of the King of Kings? Where is the power of the cross? Let me raise another question of relative importance. Where is the power of the rulers and owners of this world? Men like Nebuchadnezzar, Isn't this the great Babylon that I have built? Where is he today? Eh? What kind of power do we seek? Men like Caesar. Where is he today? What kind of power are you seeking? Power to abuse and misuse individuals? This is selfish power. And God wants us to be like him. How do we use power? Bosses, how do you use your power? Down your street now. How do you use your power? Do you lord it over those that work for you? Or are you humble and loving? In Jamaica, you have to have a tough side of you. Have to have a tough shell sometimes to get anything done some places. But you must be loving and kind. Amen? Amidst that tough shell that you may have to put on sometimes in order to get anything done. Where are the mighty armies of Napoleon? Where is Nebuchadnezzar? They are nowhere to be found. And if we examine our lives carefully, I suspect that there is less reason, a purpose in our concept of power. Our understanding of power is for selfish motives. But God, when God transforms us, we will use power right. Amen. The political real estate of the earth has shifted from one owner to another through the generations of human history. And no one has been powerful enough to hold it. The maps of Europe, which you and I have studied in elementary geography classes, are no longer valid. Yet God is still Lord of creation. And although seemingly weak in the eyes of man, it is time for us to recognize the power of God in the cross. The power of God in our lives. What your life would have been without Jesus. What my life would have been without the power of Jesus in our hearts. Today, will you allow the power of God to do a work in you, to transform your lives? Are you what you really want to be? Are you what you really want to be? And I'm talking about spiritually now. Do you reach where you want to reach? I guess we all are growing, isn't that so? We still have greater heights to reach, but not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God we can make it. And those who passed by and saw Jesus on the cross, they mocked him. And they said, oh, that's the guy that says he will tear down the temple and build it within 3 days. Listen, man, come down from the cross now. You help others. You saved others. And yourself you cannot save. Paul in Galatians 6:14 says, but God forbid that I should boast save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what, as Christians, we need to boast in. The cross of Christ and him crucified. We're not boasting about our money. We're not boasting about our education. We're not boasting about what we have achieved in life. Because at death, none of those things can help. It's only the connection that you have with God that will help. While he was on the cross, he had you and me in mind. And this is why he did not come down from that whole rugged cross. He had your salvation and my salvation in mind. God the Father could have saved his Son from all of this. If he did, what would have happened to us? We would have been lost eternally. Thank God for John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that you and I can live. The song says, the way to the cross leads home. As Christians, we need to abandon the world's concept of power in favor of pouring out our lives for God. Some people wear a cross and a chain around their necks, or a cross around your rear view mirror. But wearing the cross or having the cross means suffering. Are you willing to suffer for Christ? Are you willing to be persecuted for Christ's sake? Matter of fact, the Bible says, any man that lives godly, any woman that lives godly, you must prepare to do what? To suffer persecution. So enjoy life now. I'm warning you. Enjoy life now, because it's not going to be like this all the while if we mean Jesus. And that's why we must get up and go and witness for Jesus. Ella John, it's time for us to come out of our cozy corner, our comfort zone, and go and tell men and women about the power of the cross, about the power of Jesus. Now the power of Jesus has affected our lives and transformed us and changed us and metamorphosized us, and now we are new creatures. The word Paul uses for power is rare. It is kenosis. The kenosis of God in Christ is the strange power of God. Man has all the dunamis in the world, but refused to use it. In his wisdom, I believe, I haven't seen this anywhere, but I believe that, Elder Jump as an evangelist, I believe that God was reserving his power for Sunday morning. And somebody talked to me. He was reserving the power for Sunday morning. Yes, you can place your powerful boulder at the entrance of my tomb. You can place your mighty, powerful soldiers everywhere around this tomb for security. Yes, even Lucifer, Satan himself, the master power broker, he is there to prevent the resurrection. But early Sunday morning, what did I say? Early Sunday morning, God the Father called a committee meeting in heaven. Oh, what a meeting that was. All the angels, the seraphims, and all those heavenly beings came together. And he said, listen, Jesus is down there in the tomb. They had a powerful boulder at the entrance of the tomb. But I want my Son. Who will go and call him? When he asked the question, Gabriel volunteered. Who was the fastest angel? Faster than sound. Faster than light, the speed of light. As the word go escaped his lips, within a split second, Gabriel flew through the outer limit of space, through the Milky Way, through the belt of Orion, crashing down on planet Earth, and there was a great earthquake. There, this is God's strange power. He delivered the message, Jesus, Jesus, your Father calls you. Then Jesus came forth triumphantly. No grave could hold his body down. No stone could hold his body down. The doom and the gloom passed away. Today, what is your stone of doom and gloom? Jesus is willing to roll away that stone and set you free today. Jesus came out of that tomb triumphantly. You too can gain the victory over sin. That sin has been that has been enslaving you for years. Yes, others who were dead for years also heard the powerful call of the resurrection call, and they came out of their dusty beds. Satan fled the scene. Soldiers fled the scene. This is what you call the strange power of God. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though you were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Yes, John 11:25-26. No doubt. I believe that when Jesus uttered these words, he was not only talking to Lazarus and speaking to Lazarus's resurrection, but prophetically about his own resurrection, and about my resurrection, and about your resurrection. Yes, there is hope for every sinner here today. Hope to live above sin. Hope to say no to sin. Hope to say yes to Jesus. Will the church stand, please? I know it's lunchtime. Right now, this same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available. Amen? It's available to you and me. I'm inviting you, my friends, to take hold of this power. Whatever your situation is, however dark and dim your situations are, Jesus wants to give you that power today, this very day. So I want to invite you to the altar for you to claim that power. That power will help you to overcome these, your weaknesses, your tendency to sin. Jesus wants to give you that power. Come and claim it. Walk to the altar for it. Come. Lord bless you, my sister. Come, Elder. You shake their hands for me as they come for their power. Come for your power. Power over adultery. Power over lying. Power over stealing. Come for your power. Whatever that darling sin. There's space down there. You can go down. Space down there. That darling sin. That every time you try to overcome it, the devil tripped you. Oh, he had to flee from the tomb of Jesus. And if we claim his power, you will understand with the power of God that he will have to flee when you call the name of Jesus. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is forgiveness in the name of Jesus.
there's hope in the name of Jesus. He can give you that power to overcome sin today.